Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Cliff and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Returns Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, since it's Christmas, I thought I would remind everybody that not every gift is a winner.
I mean,
there are ugly sweaters, there are cat box calendars, all kinds of stuff people get that they don't really want.
Oh, and I think you can include anything that says Car Talk.
Absolutely, but here's a question for you.
For me?
Yeah. What is the worst Christmas gift you ever got?
The worst, huh?
Yeah. I know what it is.
I'd have to say the fart clock.
That was good, I have to admit.
I suppose I should call it the flatulence clock.
Flatulence clock.
And it had a
on the hour.
A different one. I mean, it was at least they were good enough.
What made it important to us is that you had in your kitchen, or you still do,
a bird clock.
A bird clock.
Yeah,
and every
that
hour.
That spawned the idea for the flatulence clock.
Who could pass it up?
Well, anyway, I couldn't hang the thing up, you know, even though it was a charming little gift. I decided to put it in the attic. And I forgot about it, but of course it kept on doing what it did because the battery was in it. And one day I was in the attic and I was looking for something and I was bent over. You know, and once you reach a certain age, things happen that you really don't have any control of. And I heard, it must have been the hour, it must have struck, and I heard this noise, and I said to myself, geez, did I eat beans yesterday? And then I realized it was the clock. But fortunately, the battery ran dead, and that was the end. Anyway, what about you? Other than the divorce papers you got with you, what was your worst gift?
I would have to say that everything my sister ever gave me.
Oh.
Because she's got a strange, I don't understand.
Strange take on gift giving?
Oh,
you might say.
You might say that. Remember the thing she gave me last year? What was it? It was a thing. It was ceramic.
Yeah.
A ceramic. I hate ceramic things. This was a ceramic. A big
it
ceramic
smacks
thing.
Smacks of arts and crafts.
Yeah.
And I think she got it at a crafts fair.
Yeah.
Hey! By the way, if you want to share your worst gift story with us, especially if it's still fresh, go to the website cartalk.com and you can share it with everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you missed a great party last week. We went to the New England Motor Press Association annual Christmas
party. Yeah, I couldn't make it.
Party. I know everyone was sad.
What happened?
Well, nothing extraordinary happened except at one point during the festivities, Bugsy, it was just before they served the dessert and coffee.
Was he dressed in a Santa Claus
costume?
He
had to leave to don his Santa Claus suit, and they had just poured the coffee. And sitting at the table was Dougie Berman to my left and Roy Afforder on the other side of Bugsy. And Bugsy was immediately to my right. And what should be there but his steaming cup of coffee? And almost simultaneously, the three of us said, "Let's put 20 sugars in this coffee."
He wasn't looking.
While he was putting on this to spread cheer and glee among us, in a way. He's putting on his Santa suit, which he looked very good in, by the way.
Of course.
But so he proceeded to put one, you know, bag of sugar after another. I mean, the cup was almost overflowing. And then to make sure that it all dissolved, we had Royal put it in the microwave to raise the temperature so that more of the sugar stayed dissolved.
Did he drink it?
So he finally returns. We said, "Oh, Bugs, don't forget your coffee." And he starts drinking it down. And we expect him, of course, to spit it out. And he says, "Boy, that's great."
Oh, man.
It was pretty funny. Anyway, if you want to talk about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Only guys do those. I mean, I'm convinced.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Because we're always teenagers.
But, yeah. Yeah, we got the six, and it was like, "Oh, we can't stop now." And we would have put more in, except we didn't want to impose on one of the other tables. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Have you ever done anything stupid like that, put 20 sugars in somebody's coffee?
You know, off the top of my head, I can't recall doing anything like that.
Well, you should try it. It's really a barrel of laughs.
Women just don't do that stuff. They think of it as puerile.
Well, thank God they don't, because then we'd have to watch them as well as...
Exactly. I mean, what if you come home for dinner and your wife is going to have a little joke? and she puts who knows what. Oatmeal.
In your mashed potatoes. Anyway, where are you from, Jennifer?
I'm calling from Everett, Washington.
Okay.
Everett.
And what can we do for you?
I have a 93 Lexus ES300.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going through a lot of coolant. I'm going through about a quart every 2-3 days.
Oh.
And that's been going on for about 2 months now. And opening up the hood, I can't see where it's going as far as dripping or leaking.
Where it's going is in the cylinders.
Yeah,
okay.
The coolant is going into one or more of the cylinders.
Sounds like more if it's that much.
Does it run at all rough when you first started?
It does.
Oh.
I've also got a lot of white smoke coming out of my tailpipe.
Oh!
Just until it warms up. After it warms up, then it stops.
Oh, jeez.
What's happening is the head gasket is broken somewhere, and the coolant, which flows through the engine there, mm-hmm. is sneaking out and getting into the cylinders. That's what's causing the smoke.
Okay.
And the reason it's worst when you first start it is you are getting the accumulated leakage from when the thing sits overnight. One of these fine mornings, it won't. Jennifer, are you still there? Are you still breathing?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm thinking, oh, great.
This
is not a great thing.
This is going to cost you hundreds of dollars.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of miles on the car?
Yeah, there's about 172.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Now, am I going to have the head replaced?
Well, I was reluctant to mention that it could be something worse. You could have a crack in one or both of the cylinder heads.
Okay.
Because you have a V6 engine, or you could have a crack in the block.
And if you have a crack...
My brother's got a crack in the block. Look what it's done to him.
I mean, if you needed a couple of heads, that would run into many, many dollars.
Okay.
And that it would be time then to put a lot of antifreeze in, make sure it's full, and sell it after you've warmed it up so no smoke comes up.
You couldn't do that.
Well, the thought has crossed my mind.
No, you can't sell it. I mean, you have to fix it. I mean, if either that or you just trade
it in.
Just,
yeah. And then
you're
going to screw the dealer.
Right. No, they'll figure it out in 5 minutes.
They will?
Yeah. I mean, everything is fixable, whether it's the head gasket or one of the cylinder heads. But, you know, the price obviously goes up the more things that are wrong with it. So it could easily be that you spend $1,000 or you could spend several thousand dollars if you needed both cylinder heads replaced.
Okay.
But if you needed that, I think it would be worthwhile to rebuild the entire engine. With $172,000 on it, it would be crazy to spend that kind of money only to have the lower end, that is the bearings and the crankshaft, let go in 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. Well,
Jennifer, I'm awfully sorry. This is lousy Christmas gift.
But we'll send you a washer dryer just to cheer you up. And how about a fart clock? Can you use one of those?
Actually, somebody has already given me one of those, too.
Oh, you have one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a bad omen. I had 2 years of bad luck after I got mine, so I would pitch it. This is the first opportunity.
Well, thanks for calling, Jennifer, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that
stuff. Okay, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Billy from Alexandria, Virginia.
Billy.
Hi, Billy.
That's Billy Bob.
He's doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
All right. Well, this is the problem that I have. I've got a 1998 Subaru Forester.
Uh-huh.
It's got about 95,000 miles on it, and it's a standard. When I accelerate in third, fourth, or fifth gear, as I push on the accelerator.
You can hang up right now if you want, because I don't think you're going to like the answer.
Well,
you can
when
just
I push
say,
on the...
Merry Christmas, guys. And...
No, we're going to lie.
So when I push on the accelerator, the RPMs will rev up.
Will rev up, and the car won't speed up.
Exactly. How'd you guys know that?
We know that.
We know.
You guys are reading my mind, huh?
No, we're not reading your mind. We're reading your clutch.
Okay.
Yeah, boy. Oh,
okay. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
just keep driving.
Well, that was my question. I thought it was the clutch or the transmission or something like that. Can I just drive it until the clutch goes and then take it to the mechanic, or would you recommend that I...
The clutch is gone.
Oh, the clutch is gone.
Yeah. You have been driving it until the clutch went. Well, I'll tell you, I love Subarus, and I always have... And the one shortcoming they have is they don't have the best clutches in the world.
Right.
And if I were to recommend, when I recommend Subarus to anyone, I always recommend they get the automatic transmission. We have never, ever had problems in the shop with the automatics. But the clutches, I mean, fortunately for us, have to get replaced pretty early on in a car's life.
Yeah. And that's a fun job because we make a lot of money.
Exactly.
And how come I can still drive it and get it into gear and things like that? I mean, is it eventually going to just progress?
Well, when the clutch goes completely, you won't be able to drive it. It's now so bad that you're noticing it. And this is the early warning sign. This is telling you, Bill, do something about this.
Right.
Because pretty soon you'll put it in first gear and you'll step on the gas and you won't go anywhere.
And it won't do anything.
Right. And in fact, when it gets to that point, you won't need to step on the clutch anymore. Because there'll be nothing really to step on. So you won't have to step on the clutch.
It'll just go through all the gears.
You can shift the gears without stepping on the clutch, and then you'll know.
That's a nice feature, actually.
But you are very close. If you can notice it, I would guess you are weeks away from getting stuck someplace.
Okay. How much do you think it'll run?
$625.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I close?
Close enough. See you, Billy.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Same to you.
Merry Take care, Christmas. Guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
He's got the Christmas spirit. Even after that. We've had two calls here that people are really been nice about it. It's very strange.
Oh. Yeah, he was expecting it to be the transmission, so the fact that it's only going to be a $600 clutch, he's clicking his heels, man. 1-888-CAR-TALK.
625.
I forgot the tax. 888-2278-255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Yes, my name is Mary Jo, and I'm calling from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi, Mary Jo.
Charleston.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, we're great.
Pretty good.
Well, I need some help. Mm-hmm. I'm in a little bit of a dispute with my husband. I have a problem with the glass on my car, the windshield.
Yeah.
For the last 6 months, it's been very difficult to see out of it when the sun is shining on it.
Yeah.
It looks like there's glitter.
Yeah.
And a haze.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to tell you how old your car is. Your car is a 93 Japanese car.
Yes. How'd you know?
Is it 93?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. And is it Japanese, too?
Yes. It is.
I wish you knew what was wrong with the glass now.
Yeah, seriously.
No. What is it? A 93 what?
It's a 93 Acura.
Is that Japanese?
Yeah. At least they tell me it is.
And I'm going to give you more information.
Okay, I'm listening.
You do a lot of highway driving.
Yes.
Oh, man, are we smoking here or what? What are we smoking?
You're smoking something, man.
Okay, I'm going to even guess now. I'm so hot. I'm going to guess the color of the car.
Oh, okay.
It's red.
Sorry. No, black.
It's red.
Oh, my God.
All right. Wait a minute. I'm going to tell you if it's two-door.
Okay, go
I'm going to tell you what station the radio is. All right. I'm quitting. I'm doing too good.
Yeah.
I'm quitting. That's it.
I'm impressed, though. That's
You're impressed.
Yeah, I mean, the law of averages is definitely ready to bite you in the butt.
Well, then there's hope. That means that you can maybe help me with this problem.
Well, why are you having a conflict with your husband on this? Is he denying that it's true?
Well, because he rarely drives a car, and the few times he has, he doesn't see the problem. So he just tells me, would you clean the stupid glass?
Well, I'm going to tell you how long you've been married.
Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead.
I would say you've been married fewer than 5 years.
Wrong.
Sure, did I get anything when I was right 100 times? Well, you should have learned then by now that there are lots of things that men don't see. In fact, there are only a few things that men do see.
that could be true. You're right.
Yeah. You need a new windshield.
Well, that... All right, now how am I going to explain the insurance company?
You don't have to.
I don't.
No.
No, I think... Well, I don't know. I had an incident. Beach sand got on my windshield because of I was in the vicinity of the ocean, and there was a storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew around a lot of sand, and without knowing it, I turned on the windshield wipers. And in doing so, roughed up the windshield just enough so that at night... And if it were raining and if headlights were shining in the windshield...
Yes, exactly.
I couldn't see very well. And I called the local glass company asking how much it was to replace the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
This is in my home state of Massachusetts, and I don't know what you South Carolinians have for insurance coverage, but the fellow told me the window need not be broken to qualify for a replacement.
Oh, really?
I mean, think of it. Would the insurance company want you to drive around the car where you couldn't see?
Well, in South Carolina, they have something similar, but I thought it had to have damage.
Well that can be arranged.
That's what they said at work. They said, we'll go and hit it with the rocks.
Well,
for
the
you.
Thing is that what you have there is damage. The outside surface is pitted.
And the truth is, even if you have to pay for it, buy a new one.
Okay.
And I don't care what your husband says.
Yeah,
tell him
neither.
To call me. If he doesn't like this answer, tell him to call me personally. My number is 888.
I'll have him call you.
Okay. Good luck, Mary Jo.
Well, thank you very much.
Sam, Mary
Jo. I appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. I think it's time to go back and answer last week's puzzler.
Well, I do remember that we had a puzzler last week.
That's good. Do you remember what it was about?
You should have quit while you were ahead.
Well, look, I'll tell you. It was about a secret code.
Ah, secret code. I remember the world of undercover operatives. Espionage. Miniature recording devices.
No, not that romantic. This is the world of beer, actually, and we'll have all the details and more of your calls coming up in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Crank down the window, devil may care, man, when she drives it, people gotta stare. The music's too loud, the car's too fast, not a tank big enough to hold enough gas. Yeah. Got 3-inch wide walls, no skid, a steering wheel the size of a trash can lid, pedal to the metal, foot to the max, 0 to 60 in 8 seconds flat. It's a Chevy Impala, mid-green, the long cool smoking machine, 1954 Garden State plates, finest looking thing on the interstate.
And even though bottle genies insist the first two wishes be used to make us disappear whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, I don't know who sent this in because the author listed himself or herself as anonymous donor. Didn't want his or her name associated with our show in any way, shape, or form, I guess.
Well, that narrows it down to 1 of 4.5 million, 7 million, 12 million people.
Well, here it is. You ready?
Yeah, yeah. I'm dying to remember it.
It's a secret code. Remember espionage? No.
No, I don't know.
There's an unusual little bar, and in this bar you can get a free beer if you know the secret code.
I remember.
And the secret code works like this. You sit down at the bar, and the bartender tells you a number, and you tell him another number. If it's right, you get a free beer. For example, a customer goes up to the bar, and the bartender says 6. The customer says 3. Gets his free beer.
Yeah.
A second customer goes to the bar and the bartender says 12. The customer says 6. And he gets his free beer.
Yeah.
Looking pretty good, huh? You're going to figure it out? Third customer sits at the bar and the bartender says 14. The customer says 7, right? No. Customer says 8. And he gets a free beer.
He does, with 8.
With 8. You're sitting there and the bartender turns to you and says 22. You say, I have to go to the bathroom anyway. What do you say if you want a free beer?
You say, what's the secret code?
Well, you would think, you know, you were cruising right along until you said 14 and 8.
Yeah.
And 22, if you were the customer and said 9, you'd get a free beer. That's how many letters there are.
In 22.
In 22.
6, 3, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 12, 6, 14, 8.
Oh, geez.
Cute, huh? Do we have a winner?
We certainly do. Our winner this week is Therese Cooper from Portland, Oregon. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Therese gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. With which she can get one of our boxed sets.
Boxed sets of what?
Oh, they're just box sets. Real nice boxes, though.
No, come on, man. They got to something in them.
They're box sets of Car Talk CDs.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations, Therese. You are this week's Puzzler winner.
And if your name is not Therese, don't despair. We have a new Puzzler from the wonderful world of home economics.
Oh.
Yes.
What
the heck
does that mean?
I don't know. So stay tuned. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Allie calling from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Allie?
Yes. I have a tail light and brake light out on the passenger side of my 88 Volkswagen Vanagon. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is that I need to replace the relay. I put a stronger headlight in the front, and I first blew out the switch, and after replacing that, realized I probably damaged the relay. It's been really cold here, and my mechanic doesn't have a garage, and so he won't be able to replace the relay.
He works outside the snow? An igloo. He's got an igloo.
So your tail and brake light?
Yes, on the passenger
side. On one
side
don't work.
Right.
And this happened after you did what?
Put a stronger headlight in the front. Apparently Volkswagens are notorious for the having weak headlights, and if you put a stronger one in without doing something to the relay, it just blows the whole thing.
Well, if that were the case and you blew the relay, then the headlight wouldn't work.
Okay. The headlights work. I have to twist wires together to get them to come on.
What wires?
The hot wire with various wires for the headlights, taillights.
And these wires are like hanging down from the dashboard?
Yes.
I love it.
Who did that?
That was me.
Oh, that didn't come from the factory.
No. I actually put a toggle switch in for a while, but it apparently wasn't the right voltage because I had...
How many caribou did you hit before you decided to change these headlights? And I'll tell you, I know where your problem is already. The problem is under the dash.
Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
No, because you got one wire going from the front of the car to the back of the car, and then it splits.
Not in this car. No.
You think there's a separate wire for the left side and another one for the right side?
Mm-hmm.
You know that for a fact?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a separate harness. And when you ripped out those wires under the dash...
would make sense.
To get the headlights to work. You caused this problem as well.
Yeah, but now the headlights come on at least.
Well, what do you want? I mean, it's unlikely there's going to be anyone behind you.
Well,
you're in Fairbanks.
For goodness sake. And you do have one taillight. I mean, what the heck do you want?
Well, the cops want me to have two. And...
Yeah, I don't blame them. I don't blame them.
Get pulled over again.
But you might have to seek out a shop with some rudimentary test equipment. Because I'm convinced that you caused this problem, or whoever ripped out these wires.
That was her.
Because it was
you? Yeah.
Because you had a lot of courage to do that.
Because when you turn on the headlights, you also energize the taillights. Well, you're supposed to energize the taillights.
Okay.
And someplace there's a wire disconnected.
Yeah. And
you did it.
Okay, so how do I find it,
If you crawl underneath there, it might be... just obvious.
Yeah, here's what you know what you need. You don't have like a wiring diagram. No.
Yeah, I do actually.
You do?
Got the schematics for it.
If you have a wiring diagram, you can find out where the wires go and what colors they are.
Assuming you're not colorblind.
Winter has just begun. You've got months to figure this out.
It was -47 last weekend.
Oh, really?
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And what do you do when it's -47?
I leave my car running for days on end because I'm afraid to turn it off.
Why don't you have, like, a heater or something?
I do.
Not good enough.
I have a block heater, an oil pan heater, a battery blanket, and a charcoal
and a flamethrower.
And it's not enough, huh?
Well, for most cars, yes, but for a Volkswagen, no.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we wish you all the best, Allie.
So your best suggestion is to crawl under and see if I can easily identify.
No, you disconnected this wire. The problem is under the dash, and armed with your wiring diagram, you're going to find exactly the wire you disconnected, and you're going to get, and I suspect you disconnected two wires.
Okay. Yeah.
And when you hook those wires back up, your tail and brake lights are going to work.
Okay.
Of course, you'll be frozen to death, and they'll find you upside down. But... It's been good.
maybe you'll find the wire beforehand. Good luck, Allie.
Thanks a lot.
Wow. Thanks for your call. Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Larry from Framingham, Massachusetts.
Hi, Larry. What's happening, man?
Well, my daughter in Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York, has my old 95 Camry. It's got about 140,000 miles on it, and it needed tires, so she took it in to get tires. And she called me from the shop and said they checked her transmission fluid, and they said it was dirty, and since the car had 140,000 miles, they should change the transmission fluid. And I said, no.
Don't touch it.
Pay for the tires and get out of there. And she did that. But after I said that, I thought, well, you know, why did I say that?
Why did you say that?
And I just have a memory of people are hearing over the years that if you have an old car and the transmission is working fine, and then you change the transmission fluid, the next thing you know, the transmission goes.
That is an old wives' tale.
Okay.
But it's supported by some hard evidence.
Nah, I don't believe it.
Because, well, don't forget, I mean, those kinds of things get propagated by having one transmission in 100,000 fall victim to that fluid change. And, of course, that kind of information travels like wildfire.
Yeah.
You know, you don't hear about the other 9 million of them that resulted in something good. The car getting better economy and
exactly.
Shifting better, or the transmission lasting longer. All you hear about is the disasters.
So generally speaking, though, you should change the transmission fluid if it's 140,000 miles.
Absolutely not.
Well, I think if you looked in the manual, you probably should have changed it about 50,000 miles ago. And I would have let her do it. I'm just surprised that a tire store is doing this.
Right. I didn't know. Well, I just figured they would. You know, she's a senior at Ithaca College, and she walked in there, and they probably checked all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I told her, call me if they want to sell you anything other than tires. and she did.
Well, I mean, I think you were doing the right thing, and the best thing for her to do is to take it someplace. You know, I mean, any place that advertises a free check, you know, is going to find at least six things wrong, right?
Yes.
I think the safer thing for her to do would be to develop a relationship with a shop. Someplace.
Yeah, it would be nice if she had someone that she could trust and that you could trust.
Right. Well, she's 6 hours away from
Boston. And she's not, but she's not going to be there very long. She's a senior, you said.
Yeah, that's right.
Any chance that she's going to flunk out this term and be there?
No chance. So, she tells me, no chance.
So it probably doesn't make sense, but it makes sense for lots of people who move to a new town to avail themselves of something we have on our website called the Mechanics Files, where you can go and find mechanics in your area that work on the kind of car that you have been recommended by other visitors to our site.
And these mechanics somehow have managed to fool people into thinking that they're honest?
Well, exactly. But whatever it took, they had it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. You know.
So if the car comes home in January, I should think about changing the fluid.
Well, you should certainly take it to your guy, whoever that person is, and have that your mechanic look at it, and that person can say, well, I think it needs to be changed,
yeah.
Or this stuff is perfectly okay.
Yep.
Or didn't you remember, Larry, that we changed it last year?
You know, that could be, too. It could have been changed 3 years ago, and I don't remember.
You sound like the kind of guy who would have done it.
Well, you know, when I told her no, absolutely not, my wife said, well, you come out with comments all the time that you have no basis for saying. You just make them up. And that's true. So
called male answer syndrome. Guys have to have an answer at the ready.
M-A-S.
It's that hunter-gatherer thing. You got to be ready to throw that spear, man.
Well, I'm sure I scared Allie. I told her, get out of there. Get out of there. Don't pay,
escape.
But just get out of there.
Escape.
Don't look back. Just run your life.
No,
well, I think you may have done the right thing.
Those
right.
kinds of old wives' tales that get perpetrated, not perpetrated.
Propagated.
Propagated, that's the word. They stick in your head.
I thought I heard it from you. That was one of my comments. But I guess.
Well, we've been guilty of starting a few. So
yeah,
we,
but
this
not,
may be,
not that one.
Not
all
that
right.
one. We didn't start that one. But it does that. Happen that once in a while, and we've had it happen in the shop, and it's always an ugly thing when it happens. We'll have a car come in with, you know, 140,000 miles on it, and we'll recommend the transmission fluid change. And 2 months later, the transmission is cooked. And, of course, we get blamed for it. But we're used to it. You know, so if your guy thinks it's okay when she comes home for the holidays, then don't worry about it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
See you, Larry.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Emily from Charleston, South Carolina.
Emily?
Emily.
But I actually go to school 11 blocks away from you guys on Mass Ave.
Where do you go to school?
MIT.
MIT.
I could tell.
Thought you guys might know that school.
And where are you living at MIT?
Senior house.
Senior house. Oh, yeah. So what are you pursuing at MIT?
That's right, on Mass Ave, right?
Interesting question. Both biology, chemistry with a theater minor.
Biology. So if this biology, chemistry career doesn't work out, you can go to Hollywood and become an actor.
Oh, yeah, or I could go to Chicago and join a comedy troupe. My parents are sitting there going, med school, med school.
Med school.
Which
med
actually
school.
Is my question.
Yeah.
My mom bet me that if I made a perfect score on the med school admissions test,
yeah,
she would buy me a 1966 Mustang.
Oh, really?
I made 1 point shy of that.
Oh.
So they agreed to get me the Mustang still.
1 point shy of a perfect score?
I studied really hard to get a 1966 Mustang.
And why do you want that?
I am a huge Mustang fan. My first car was a 1989 Mustang.
Oh, and that wasn't unreliable enough for you? You decided to go backward in time and see if you get something that was a little...
No, I love that car, but my dad's concerned about how safe a 66 will be and how reliable. Or should we just go for the 2005, which sort of has the same look, but
now
not quite the chrome?
Now you're talking.
It's not, the 66 Mustang was not very reliable, and it's not very safe.
Well, my dad was talking to Kyle Petty, and his suggestion was to put a restriction plate on it so I could only go 45 miles an hour.
You don't want to do that.
No. I want to drive a Mustang.
No, in which case you should get a brand new one. The truth is, a new one isn't going to cost any more than a 66 that's all fixed up.
Not really.
No, you should buy a brand new one. I mean, it doesn't have quite the head-turning, you know, characteristics of a 66, certainly. But you'd survive an accident, probably.
Well, that would be good.
Yeah.
That's my dad's concern.
And, you know, it's...
But you might be more likely to have the accident with the new one.
I mean, what's the one word you would choose to describe the handling and ride quality of a 66 Mustang?
Yeah.
Barbaric. No, it's
loud. How's that?
Yeah, no, it's pretty awful.
No, the 66 Mustang was not technically a really great car.
Mm-hmm.
It was cute, but it depends on the kind of driving that you do. I mean, look at me. I'm driving around in a 1952 car.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have any safety features whatsoever.
Well, the car's not allowed in Boston.
Oh.
So the car will be staying in the southeast. And
wherever you go to med school.
Wherever I go to med school is where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but I want less snow for med school.
Yeah, so you're going to stay in the south someplace.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
I could see you at University of Hawaii.
Hawaii's nice. I could do that, yeah.
Hawaii's nice.
Yeah, well, you know, if you were going to drive the car at 45 miles an hour and drive it, you know, on weekends, then I could say go for it. But I know you couldn't possibly restrict yourself to that.
No.
So you need to get the new one.
Now the other question is, would you guys go for a GT or a regular?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. No. You know.
Standard. You don't want anything fancy.
Yeah. You don't want anything too high performance. Yeah. I know you do, but you don't.
Yeah.
Well, my parents probably don't.
Yeah. And if are they buying?
And you don't want it.
Are they buying?
Well, they're buying because they lost the bet.
Sure.
They didn't lose the bet.
Well,
okay.
They did. They acknowledged
they
that 1 point was enough.
And yeah, but all bets are off now because she's not getting the 66 Mustang. I think it's their call. They should get you what they want to get, and we're recommending against the GT.
Yeah.
If a Mustang happens to show up in the driveway,
yeah,
I will drive it.
There you go.
Excellent.
And we're going to call them and tell them what to get you.
Okay.
You're getting a four-cylinder whether you like it or not. See you, Emily.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. All right, look, before we get to the new puzzler, I think we need to take a short break.
Actually, I have a question for you. Look, I don't want to... what's the word I'm looking for? It starts with a B and ends with an H.
Complain?
That's it. I don't want to complain. But why are we working? Why today? I mean, we have seniority. We've been doing this show for 100 years. Whose idea was it to have us work this weekend? Shouldn't we be home with our wives and our kids?
Actually, it was their idea. Our wives and kids, that isn't. And by the way, they signed us up for next weekend, too.
Great.
Stay tuned because we'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
I don't need no fancy car. I got my little hell on wheels. It's rusted out, can't go.
too far. But it's paid for, that's got sex appeal. It's a sweet buy, it's a sweet buy. Got me a sweet, sweet ride right here.
And even though the RCA dog puts his paws over his ears and howls whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And as promised, this is from the wonderful world of home economics.
Yeah, what the heck is that? Tell me about it.
Well, this came in.
I don't know.
This required significant obfuscation, declarification, and the like. But
I'm sure you did your best.
But the essence of it was sent in by someone named Jerry Galloway, and here it is. My friend had purchased a piece of slate to put into the floor in front of his fireplace. I think that piece is called the hearth, actually.
Is it?
I believe so. Anyway, the slate was 3/4 inch thick by something like 10 inches wide and 48 inches long and weighed in the order of 175 pounds. Now, he had cut a hole in the oak floor that was basically the same size as the piece of the slate. So he had to just
plunk it right in.
Plunk it right in there.
Get his fingers out of the way as fast as possible.
And the depth of the hole was exactly 3/4 inch, the same as the slate. And, of course, there was still the subfloor, you know, underneath it. You know,
of course.
He'd removed just the oak flooring. You with me so far?
I'm with you.
When he put one end of the slate into the hole in the floor,
that's
he realized
not gonna work.
That he would have to drop the other end to get the slate into the hole.
No.
And he realized that if he dropped the brittle slate even a half an inch,
it would break.
It would break.
And it wouldn't go in the hole anyway.
It wouldn't go in the hole because that only works if it has no third dimension.
Exactly.
But that's another issue for another day.
Oh, okay.
And there was so little clearance. I mean, it must have been like 1/100 inch or something that he couldn't even use that thin fishing line to lower the end of the slate. So we sat there for the longest time drinking beers and pondering this dilemma.
I got it already. I know the question and I know the answer.
After my 5th or 6th trip to the kitchen, I returned with something from the kitchen that solved the problem in, I think, elegant fashion.
I do too.
What did I find that worked so well that allowed us to lower the slate into the hole without risk of breaking it? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
And by the way, you can submit puzzles using either of those addresses.
Sure.
Especially if you don't like the ones I've been using lately, you can send your own damn puzzler in and see if that fares any better.
Let my brother obfuscate it. You won't recognize it when he gets done.
But if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Mike from Nashville.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
What's cooking, man?
I'm doing okay.
You play guitar?
No, I took lessons when I was in elementary school, but it's been paid and proven that I can't play the guitar. No way can I do that.
You know, I am working on the following musical instruments.
Oh.
Some of which I used to be able to play and I've forgotten now. But I have a piano, can't play it. A guitar, play it a little bit. A stand-up bass, an accordion, and what's that other one I have?
The triangle.
No.
The harmonica.
That's it. I got a harmonica, but more rudimentary.
The comb and the tissue paper?
Yes, that's it. And I am little by little trying to learn how to play all of these instruments, not at the same time, just a little bit. Like on the accordion, all I want to be able to play is Lady of Spain.
I'll buy you the CD.
Oh, that'd be great. You'd make it big here in the music scene.
Oh, I'm sure he would. Anyway, what can we do for you, Mike?
Well, I have a really nice 85 Eldorado Berritz.
No kidding.
Yes, and it's got about 130,000 miles on it.
Really?
All of a sudden, driving along, you can drive along just normal on the freeway, you get off the freeway and you'll forget that the power steering isn't working.
Oh.
You go to turn the wheel, and it's like there's no belt. Well, it's got a new pump. It's got the belt. It's got fluid. And once you get rolling, then it steers just fine. You come up to a stop sign, you better have one foot on the gas, one on the brake, and turn and gas as you go, or it won't go. It won't turn. It'll just go whatever direction it was pointing in when you stop moving.
And you've replaced the pump.
Did about 8 months ago.
And that obviously didn't help any.
Well, this just started a week ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, so you don't know if it's the pump or the rack and pinion.
No. I heard the rack and pinion might be expensive.
It might be.
Oh, yeah.
Almost assuredly.
And it's got a Cadillac tattooed on it, so that's probably...
Well, and it's almost... I mean, what's wrong with this thing sounds like a classic case of a failed rack.
Oh, no.
Well, because you replaced the pump, there is the small possibility that the rebuilt pump, and that's what you put in there was rebuilt one, has failed.
Uh-huh.
And the only way you're going to find that out is either to replace it with another rebuilt pump or to have someone hook up a pressure gauge to see if, in fact, you've got pressure.
Uh-huh.
Did you replace the pump yourself?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I don't like the sound of that.
No. We didn't mean anything by that.
I'll admit, I'm not a mechanic. I work inside the automobiles, not outside.
No, but if
It ain't rocket science, as you learned.
Yeah, and I rented the tool from the parts place to swap out the pulley and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, you're probably going to have to pay someone to check the pressure.
Yes.
Because the parts store is not going to have the pressure gauges, and you would probably have to go to the Cadillac dealer.
How much do you suppose a rack would cost?
We don't want to spoil your holidays.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear that.
It's going to be a lot of money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd practice my guitar playing if I were you. And get out there with the tin cup. You may need it.
Have you had this since 85?
No, I bought it about 5 years ago. It had 64,000 miles on it.
Oh.
It's a nice car, though.
It's a real nice car.
Yeah, and it's going to be even nicer when you can steer it. Trust me.
Well, yeah. As long as if you keep going, like if you took off and just drove for 500
miles. If only you could park
at
40 miles an hour, wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
Yeah, the problem is if you're driving it in the city and some kid darts out in front of you, you're not going to be able to take evasive action.
Right.
And that's dangerous.
And let alone trying to park it in a parking lot.
Oh, yeah, no, forget
that's
it.
That's a trick.
You always have to have it valet parked. Imagine the poor guy that gets behind the wheel of that thing. For his $2 tip, he's going to park this beast.
You can maneuver this. There's a big tip in it for you.
Well, good luck, Mike. I hope it's a bad pump, but if it isn't, be prepared to spend some big money on the rack.
All right. Well, thanks, fellas.
All right. See
thanks
you later.
For calling.
All right. Bye now.
Yeah, that would be a cruel thing to do to a valet. Here's the keys. Don't scratch it. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Oh, yeah. This is Joe from Minnesota.
Hey, Joe from Minnesota. Whereabouts in Minnesota?
Right by the river by St. Paul.
Okay.
No kidding.
So St. Paul, Minnesota, roughly.
Around that area, yep.
All right.
Not Minneapolis.
No.
So you wouldn't know my good friend.
Les Block.
He's your friend, too?
I never met him.
You never met Les?
So what's up, Joe?
Well, I have a 2001 Malibu, and I deliver pizzas, and every time I get out of my car, I get shocked.
Oh.
I'm wondering if there's an electrical problem, or...
No, it's your pants.
You're not wearing polyester still, are you?
It never happened with any of my other cars. It just...
Yeah. Well, it's a combination of your pants, the material of the seat, and the sliding action of getting out of the vehicle.
Yeah, but more than anything...
The tires.
The tires of your car are allowing a static charge to build up on you. And then when you get out of the car, the first thing you touch causes a discharge. And if the first thing you touch, for example, is the metal door,
Bingo.
Zap.
Yeah, that's the first thing I always touch.
Or if you should reach out of the car, for example, to hand a quarter to a toll booth collector.
You'll get it then.
Okay, you'll zap him or her. So when this charge builds up on you, it has to discharge someplace, and usually it's the tires that are responsible.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the reason for it is that tire manufacturers used to use something called carbon black to make the tires black, but they wanted to reduce rolling resistance, so they started using this silica compound, which was great, except that it doesn't dissipate the electric charge as well as the carbon black did.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this problem with the static buildup, and that causes you to get...
Uh-huh.
And some tires are worse than others. I mean, I had a set of tires, I don't remember what they were, that were absolutely horrendous. I mean,
you never had a set of tires. You always had four different tires.
Well, I had one. I must have had one offending tire. And there was one car I had where when you got out of this thing, a spark of a half an inch would jump off your fingertips. And I'll tell you, that really started to hurt after a while. And it got to the point where I was afraid to get out of the car. I had my wife bringing me meals in the driveway. I'd call her up from the car, "Hun, bring me out something to eat, will you? I'm not getting out of the car."
And she was afraid to hand you the stuff to eat. She had to leave it on the floor. Well, it's interesting because, I mean, it's not all that common. I'll bet you every Malibu doesn't have this problem. Are these your original tires? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, whenever you buy new tires, don't buy four of these, whatever they are. But in the short term, you can install on your car a grounding strap. And you can buy these things at an auto parts store. And basically, they're two rubber straps that have a piece of braided metal embedded in them.
Okay.
And you can buy these for a few bucks, maybe $20, and install them on your car. And they'll last you until the tires have worn out, probably. And then you can buy replacements that don't have this problem. And if you buy replacements that do, go right back and get your money back. And tell them you want something else because it's unconscionable.
Yeah, it's starting to get a little bit painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you doing to try to avoid it?
I seem to forget a lot. I just get out in shock. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, it happens. Well, Joe, I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, and you can start throwing those static cling things in when you do your when you put the clothes in the dryer.
Okay.
That might help, too. But I think it's the tires.
You.
And get the straps. That'll do it. See you later, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lauren from Bar Harbor, Maine.
Bar Harbor.
One of my favorite places. It is.
It's my favorite place, too.
No, I happen to love Acadia National Seashore Park. And I
wish I could tell the story. But I can't.
No, I can't. Anyway, Lauren, what's up?
I have a 97 Subaru Legacy Wagon, like everyone else in Maine. And my boyfriend drove it down the Mount Washington Auto Road with the emergency brake on.
What a dope.
So,
your ex-boyfriend, you mean?
Oh, yeah. My second question was whether or not I should break up with him. But is this going to have any lasting damage to my car?
No. It probably cooked the emergency brake.
Okay.
How long a ride was this?
You know, it's about 9 miles or something, I think.
I don't even know how he would have done that if the emergency brake works.
Oh.
Well, I bet it wasn't on all the way.
Okay, so the problem is that I keep a little silk flower on the dashboard that blocks, like, the odometer.
And blocks that little light that says brake.
Right, so he didn't know that it was on because I drove it up and put the brake on.
Yeah, but if it had really, as Tommy says, if it had been on in full force.
Uh-huh.
Even the fact that gravity was pulling your car down Mount Washington wouldn't have helped very much.
Okay.
He would have known immediately. So my guess is it was only partially on, which wasn't good anyway, and it probably did cook the emergency brake, but if it did, it did, and you'll find out eventually.
Should I have it looked at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take it in and have it looked at just to be in the safe side. And then, you know, if it's going to cost a lot of money, you have to decide how who's going to pay. I mean, the fact that you had the light blocked.
Well, this is good because this is an interesting problem to have to solve between you. This will determine whether or not you should dump them.
I don't want to dump them.
No, I think this is the kind of thing that tells what kind of a relationship it is.
So let's say, for example, you find out that the emergency brake is cooked and needs to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You would hope that he would say, "Oh, Lauren, don't worry. I'll whatever it costs, I'll take care of it. It was obviously my mistake. I should have known better."
Right.
Yeah, you know. And on the other hand, he may say,
"Well,
you didn't have that stupid flower there." And is this going to tell you a lot about him?
Well, he said, "Why would you put the emergency brake on anyway?" But
this does not bode well.
Yeah, well, of course, you were on a damn mountain. Of course you're going to have the emergency brake on.
Of course.
But he doesn't think that you should put the emergency brake on an automatic car.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's wrong.
No, he's wrong. It's in the owner's book. Show him page 23-7, where it says use the parking. It's called a parking brake.
Okay.
These kinds of discrepancies and disagreements will tell all.
Yeah.
I mean, I married my present wife because one day she needed a car. So I said, take mine. So she gets on the Massachusetts Turnpike, and as she's driving along at a reasonable speed of about 40 miles an hour, suddenly the hood is vertical, and she can see nothing but the hood. Scared the hell out of her. Did she come over and whack me? No. She said, hun, I think there's something wrong with the hood. You probably should do something about it. And
really?
I said, nah. Yeah, and that's, I mean, it was clear that this is a woman who could understand a really stupid person like me.
Yeah, evidently. Well, see how it goes, Lauren. Keep us posted.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Of course you have. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the West Mobile, braised veal, curried eel, braided seal, lemon peel, chamomile, and blue cheese wheel. Happy meal is John Buxley Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Merkey of Merkey Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our senior accountant from the Paris office is Count de Monet. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our in-law hospitality provider is Emil Endicott. Our employee terminator is Laura DeBoom. Our express oil change provider is Joaquin Walkout. Our backseat driver is Veronica Lijenkors. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekoff and Dropoff. Our directors of quality control are Les Thomas and Nomar Raymond. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the early bird gift returners in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1052, paw through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, you can sign up for Car Talk's automotive news feed on Twitter.
Well, it's not just news, it's also analysis. For instance, here's the news. You ready?
Yeah.
Chrysler recalls Jeep Liberty due to wiper problems.
Yeah.
And here's the analysis. It's so sad when a vehicle can't even wipe itself.
That is sad.
News analysis from Car Talk. You can get it every day by following us on Twitter. Get details at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though bald men start using loud hair dryers whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.